Great song, isn't it? I was sick of Pink Pony Club. That's a great follow-up. I had enough of that, but now I'm delighted with that. Chapel Rowan, The Subway. Brilliant, brilliant song. Now, from corporate offices to wild hedgerows, North Cork's Chloe Dempsey has swapped the rat race for a life of foraging and fermenting. She now teaches others how to find food on their doorstep and bring it to life in the kitchen. And I'm delighted to say that Chloe joins me now from our Cork studio. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Brendan.
How are you?
Great, how are you?
So, Chloe, you made a big leap from the corporate world to foraging and fermenting. Why did you make that move?
I did. I suppose, like the rest of us, COVID really kind of impacted that. I was spent, like, in my previous life, basically, I was an administrator. Started working from home and kind of wasn't commuting so much anymore. Was spending a lot more time in the garden, cooking, and started doing a bit of fermenting. Went back to the office, and where I was working, there was actually a garden there for staff.
Really?
Yeah, which was amazing. There was a lot of, you know, it was a really, their employee program, they really looked after their employees there. But there was a garden for the staff, and I actually met the gardener there, and she's now a really good friend, Kira Parsons. And she was like, oh, there's this amazing course. It's permaculture in Kinsale, like, sustainable horticulture basically, and I was always kind of into that kind of stuff, and then it really literally planted a seed. So off I went. I quit my job, did the course.
I just have this image of the girl who's always in the garden at the office, and you quit and say, I'm going off to be in the garden for good.
I know, it's just like looking out the office window at her, like, frolicking around the garden.
That's for me.
Yeah, exactly. That's the life I want to live.
Yeah.
So off I went, did the course down in Kinsale with Donald Chambers. It's an absolute fantastic course. It was like sustainable horticulture.
And around the time, had you moved to Fermoy? You were living in your granny flat in your nana's garden.
Yeah, I was. Cute. Yeah, which was amazing because, like, I was basically like a gardener that's like, if I can't eat it, I don't want to know about it. And she's like a flower gardener, so we really kind of merged, and I learned so much from her, and we had a lot of like sunny days enjoying the harvest out the back garden, which is fantastic. Like, and she's still flying it. She's still gardening, and she's 90 this year. So, yeah, I think it's a good sign of gardeners.
Yeah.
We live forever.
Stay connected to the land.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was commuting, like driving up and down to Kinsale from Fermoy every day, but it was totally worth it. Like, it was a fantastic course.
So you thought that gardening might not be a viable career, did you, at the start?
Well, you know what? In school, I wasn't like the most studious person ever, I suppose. I was always kind of wanted to be outside, and I grew up in the countryside in North Cork, and like, they just said, oh, you're great at talking, like, maybe you could work in an office. Like, they didn't, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you could, it just, gardening wasn't really something that they kind of told people they could do, or,
yep,
you know, and if you weren't, you know, agriculture is one thing, especially, like, I'm from the Golden Vale, like, so, you know, agriculture is a lot different to gardening or like sustainable practices and that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's on a different scale as well, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. More like market gardens, like community gardening, connecting with people, connecting to the land.
So I'm actually doing my back garden at the moment. I'm really thinking about putting in a patch to grow stuff. Would you recommend it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And you could just literally like just grow like salads or peas. Are really fun to grow. They're like, but I never have enough like for harvest because I'm always eating them every time I see them. And like strawberries, and you know, yeah, it's just you find little
so
treats
rewarding
then when you're out in the garden. Yeah, exactly.
So tell me about foraging. What is it, first of all?
So foraging is, I always say to people, like, people are like, what is foraging? I'm not a forager. But if you've picked a blackberry, like, you are a forager.
Yeah.
And we've all picked blackberries when we were kids, and we've made jams. And so it's just basically, the knowledge is in us, we already have it, and it's just connecting back to that. And literally, even you can forage in your lawn, like if you let the grass grow, there's dandelions, there's daisies, there's plantain, like things pop up. And a lot, you'd be surprised how many, once you start identifying things, how much of that is edible.
Wow, really? Okay, what's the best way to find out what's edible and where to go about it?
The apps are kind of a good place to start. I used to say that to people because they were a bit dodgy before, but they're getting a bit better with benefits of AI. Yeah. It's a good place to start. There's a couple of apps. There's PlantNet and Picture This. PlantNet is free, actually, and it's quite good for information. And Picture This. But then cross-reference it with a couple of books. A really good book, and I think one of the only ones that is specific to Ireland is Zoe Devlin's Wildflowers of Ireland, and she also has a website, so it's really good too.
But you teach foraging and fermenting, that's a part
of it. Oh yeah, of course, yeah, and come to my course. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So where can I do your course?
I am actually doing, I'm teaming up with Probies this year, Probies Kitchen, for the Cork on a Fork Food Festival.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited about it. So we're going to go on an immersive foraging walk through Fitzgerald's Park, so I really want to get across to people that
Gorgeous.
A lot of this stuff is very common and you'll find it anywhere. And then we're going to head back to Probies for a water kefir demo that I'll do.
And that's next Thursday the 14th.
Thursday the 14th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Yeah.
A foraging walk with you as part of the Cork on a Fork Festival.
Yes.
And so where can people get information about that? Just look it up, Cork on a Fork.
So Cork on a Fork, yeah. I have a website. It's fermentforagegrow.com. I'm on Instagram as well, at fermentforagegrow. And the Cork on a Fork website has all the tickets
available.
And
it's obviously great fun for kids as well. They love it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and I think it's so important, and it brings us back to being kind of kids as well, the wonder of what's around you and how exciting it is to find something.
So I have 1 minute left. What is the best and most tasty foraging dish that you make?
Oh, I make so many nice dishes.
Your voice got deep all of a sudden there.
Loads of them. Basically, I think my favourite is I make spinach and feta parcels. They're a bit fiddly with the phyllo pastry, but well worth it.
And you're foraging the spinach?
Nettle spinach feta.
Nettle spinach. And do you have to boil that first, or what do you do? Nettle spinach, how do you make that edible?
So nettles, you literally just blanch them in hot water, yeah, and then that takes the sting out of them and then blitz them up with lots of yummy stuff.
So you can go on a foraging walk with Chloe at Cork on a Fork Festival next week and find it all online. Thanks so much for taking the call, and have a great time and have a lovely weekend, Chloe. John Cook is on Drive Time and I'm back on Monday. Have a beautiful weekend. Goodbye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.